And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I think there was a lady that called at the end of last week and she wanted more information, so this is your official opportunity. Otherwise, oh, here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm calling. I spoke to my sister yesterday, and she is having lots of back pain, and she's been diagnosed with herniated disc and bulging disc, and I was wondering if there's something that might help relieve her pain.
There is a substance produced in the human body called glyco. I've already butchered it, so let me start over here. Glycosamine glycans, GAGs. And for the most part, what they do is they direct the speed of healing. When someone has a ruptured disc or if the disc weakens and that tissue starts to break down, then you want to say, okay, what are my options here? And, of course, what if all this had happened 150 years ago and your sister was living on the Kansas prairie and it was her job to get out there and harvest the crops? Well, it'd be pretty much impossible with a ruptured disc in her back, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But that's the way that people had to do it 100 years ago. They had to just gut it out and work anyway because there was no option because it was life or death for them.
Right.
So let me give you some ideas.
Okay.
This first one may not make sense, but you may have heard me say before that one of the greatest predictors of all time that's going to determine or predict how long we're going to live, barring an accident, is our blood sugar levels. And so it's no great mystery when somebody has blood sugar around 350, things don't go well for them. If you went to the hospital and you asked every doctor and nurse who's going to have the poorest prognosis, and they're going to tell you it's going to be people that have diabetes. And so one thing that I would definitely look at is if the blood sugar of your sister is somewhere between 70 and 80, she's going to absolutely have the very best chance to heal and repair.
Okay.
And the reason I'm saying that is anything that causes your blood sugar level to increase and your insulin level to go up, it pretty much prevents your body from repairing collagen, which is what the disc is made of. So her disc is made of a collagen substance. So the easiest way to approach this is to say, okay, here's a plan for your sister. Maybe she could start taking collagen every single day just to give the disc the very substance it needs to repair itself. And so, for example, one of the easiest ones that I think is a form of collagen that she can buy for, what, $21 or $22 for a canister of it. It's called Great Lakes Collagen Hydrosylate.
Great Lakes Collagen.
Great Lakes is the brand name.
Okay.
And the reason I like the one called Collagen Hydrosylate, and just to tell you in advance, it's a cow product. It's made from collagen from calves. I don't know if that upsets you. It doesn't upset me
at
all, but okay, good. Some people get bent out of shape over that, and it's okay.
No, but I think it's probably better.
Yes, but the Collagen Hydrosylate, she could start taking that every single day, and what she's doing is she's trying to provide nourishment to the disc.
Okay.
The other thing that I'd look at, collagen synthesis requires, and I know this is an oversimplification, but it requires the mineral zinc. So it's real common when people eat a lot of carbohydrates to be lower in zinc. And so if she took a little bit of zinc every day, that would probably put her in a little bit better light as far as healing the disc goes. And so you've got zinc, there's a water-soluble vitamin known as vitamin C. Vitamin C plays a huge role in collagen synthesis. That just means repair of damaged tissues, whether it's a ligament or a disc or the cartilage or a tendon or a bone or the muscle. You've got to have collagen to make that work. So those would be supplements that would be beneficial.
Would she take the vitamin C several times a day or...
Oh, yeah, she could real easily.
Okay.
I mean, the chances of it causing any harm are just about nil, actually. I've been doing this for 30 years. I don't even know if somebody's ever been harmed by taking vitamin C.
Well, I hear that it your body throws off what you don't need. So I don't know if that's so or not. But
well, let's put it this way: if she takes vitamin C, there will be a benefit to taking it.
Yes, yes.
And so what the body does with any excess that it can't utilize, that's not much to even worry about, is it?
No, not for sure. And the zinc, is that once a day or?
Yeah, zinc is a sort of supplement. If you take it as a supplement, you want to take that with food.
With food, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And so if she has scrambled eggs for breakfast, I'd take it with those.
Okay.
And probably 30 milligrams a day would be a very good amount. Another thing that I would look at, and I'm going to probably switch gears just slightly. And let me just tell you my experience. Back in the middle 90s, I literally thought that I could not go on. Now, I know now that's not true, but back then I thought it was true. It's funny how the mind works, right?
Right, right.
But my back was in so much pain all the time, I could not turn over in bed without first having to dig my elbow in the mattress, push myself up, because I couldn't bear the pain of just simply turning and shifting and rolling over on one side or the other.
Wow.
It was too painful. And so, you know what happens when you're in a lot of pain and you suffer for a long time, you start having crazy, wacky thoughts, don't you?
Right.
And one of those thoughts was, I'm going to have to do something else for a living. This is just too painful. And chiropractors are very famous for that. They're famous for taking care of other people.
Yes.
But after devoting, you know, a 10-hour day to caring for the needs of other people, you start to realize, you know, the very thing that I'm doing to help others is wrecking my back. And so I had this severe pain, and it would shoot down my left side of my lower back into my hip and down my leg. And that's just not a whole lot of fun, that every night you lay down to go to sleep, you think, okay, nighttime's going to be worse than daytime, because this pain is worse at night. And that's very characteristic of a swollen disc and a sciatic nerve that's inflamed. And so, anyway, I'll cut to the chase. I was at Walmart one day. You probably never heard of that store. It's just small, you know, mom and pop, you know.
Yes, I'll try to find it.
But yes, it'll be, you'll have to ask your friends. But there was a magazine in there, and I think the magazine was called Men's Health. Anyway, don't judge me for that.
Okay.
On the front cover, they had a picture of a man by the name of Mark Verstegen. This is probably in 96. And Mark Verstegen, it said something on the front cover of that he was the trainer to the top athletes. And so I was kind of intrigued by that, and I read his article. And he talked about how to restore the function to the human body to where all those muscles and disc and tissues, they start working properly again. And that really intrigued me. And he had a book that he had written called Core Performance by Mark Verstegen. And I have loaned out my personal copy to so many people that they have developed amnesia, and they won't return it to me any longer.
It's lost.
And so I was at Half Price Books in Tyler not that long ago, and I saw a copy of it, and I bought it.
Wow.
Because it really meant a lot to me, and there's only a couple of books that I have purchased over one time because they had such significant information that I thought was highly valuable. I would say the Bible would be at the top of the list.
Right.
I mean, do you own more than one Bible?
Yes.
If you lived in North Korea, chances are you would not be owning more than one Bible.
No.
Or even one Bible, probably.
Right. So is that book, does it give you exercises? Or?
Yes, it does. And I'm going to be perfectly straight with you on this. There's probably 12 or 13 chapters of exercises. And each chapter, excuse me, the exercises become a little bit more progressively efficient, meaning as you master the, you know, the baby steps, then you can move on to the ones that are a little bit harder to do.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, I never made it past the first two series of exercises. I never got to them. I just did the prehab and the warm-up stretches, and after about 30 days, I was completely pain-free, and I haven't looked back since.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, you do have to approach something with a little bit of an open mind, and you got to have a little bit of faith. Because if you tried to lay on your, let's just say, living room floor, and you say, okay, what's the first stretch? And you do that, and you go, you know, this doesn't make sense. It's not going to work. I tell you what, though. After about 3.5 weeks, I was pain-free.
Oh.
And that had been the first time in years that it had been that way for me. But the reason I'm saying this, I don't know what the age of your sister is.
In her 60s.
Well, she's young.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not without hope, and it's not too late. But if she were to aggressively set her mind like flint that she's going to start studying how to improve the body and how to improve the condition of the disc, I think years ago I looked at surveys of people that had ruptured discs, and they said, well, absolutely, what is the number one exercise? And I know, I'm just telling you one, but I said, which one has the highest correlation to ending the pain from the disc? And it was one called the bird dog. You ever heard of that?
No.
Well, what you do is you imitate a German short-haired pointer that's pointing at a, you know, a pheasant that's 10 feet in front of him, ready to flush it at the command of his master so he can, you know, go and fetch it and they can have it for supper.
Okay.
But a bird dog is where you get on all fours.
Uh-huh.
And you're using, you just extend your right arm and your left leg at the same time.
Okay.
Anyway, it's called the bird dog.
Yes. I think, actually, I go to a chiropractor, and he didn't call that kind of exercise, but he recommended that.
Well, then that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And right. then years ago, I want to tell you just one more thing real quick. I watched not a documentary. It was one of those primetime live type programs or news magazine programs on TV back in the 90s when I still watched TV. But during that time, there was a man that was in very, very severe pain, and he was wheelchair bound, and they basically dumped him off at a drug rehab center, and of course he was kicking and screaming the whole way. He's a famous movie star, but I'm not going to bring that point up. And the judge gave him an option. You either go to one of these drug rehab centers or you go to, you know, prison. And he said, I'll go to drug rehab. And so they dropped him off, and there was a large mat. It's almost like if you walked into a gym and there were little girls around tumbling and, you know, practicing, you know, flips and stuff like that. But it's padded to kind of make sure that you don't have, like, a horrific injury if you land the wrong way, which I know injuries happen. And the first person they introduced this man to was a yoga instructor. And he said, I'm here to help you with your pain. He said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I'm going to help you. And the two orderlies dumped the man onto the exercise pad from the wheelchair.
Wow.
And this guy was kicking and screaming, and he was saying bad words. Words like, you know, darn.
Sorry. Can't repeat.
Yeah, you know, we would not be better off. But he just was very resistant. And after about an hour and a half, he finally relented, and he yielded to the yoga instructor, and he started teaching him how to breathe properly, where you can actually start getting oxygen to your disc of your lower back.
Uh-huh.
And before you know it, he was up and walking. And he said, I haven't done this in months. Anyway, my point is, if a person's got a ruptured disc, it's going to really benefit them to start the process of doing exercises that are going to increase blood flow and circulation to the disc. And so it's not just what you eat and how you eat and the supplements you take. If you cannot deliver the nutrients to the disc because you're in fight or flight mode, or you're in sympathetic dominance, or you have poor blood flow, it's going to be a tough row to hoe.
Okay.
So if she did exercises every single day, that is absolutely going to give her the greatest possible chance of relief and repair and rejuvenation.
Okay, I'll pass that along to her. Now, the Core Performance, that was the name of the book?
That's the name of the book.
And it was by Mark who?
His last name is Verstegen. I think it's Verstegen, I think.
Okay.
Mark Verstegen.
Okay. And the Great Lakes Collagen.
Yeah.
Do you have to order that, or is it available in China?
You can try going by the health food stores. If they have it, great. If they didn't have it, it'd be worth it to try some type of powdered collagen product.
Okay.
But if you got on the internet, I'm pretty sure if you type it in, you'd only have about 4 million people trying to sell you a canister of it.
Okay, I can do that. Well, thanks so much, Dr. Morgan. I just appreciate your show, and you've been very helpful in helping my life. So,
well, you're very kind. Thanks for your kind words, and I hope you have a great weekend, ma'am.
Okay, Merry Christmas, and God
Merry
bless.
Christmas, and God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, God help us. America and the world, we need you, Lord. Obviously, with a lady that has a ruptured disc, what you eat is going to make a difference. It's going to be hard to beat eating meat and vegetables, a little bit of fruit, and avoiding sugar. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you this fine day?
Oh, I'm excellent. How are you, buddy?
Well, praise God. I appreciate that. I got a couple, three things I want to bounce off of you. But before I do that, I wanted to comment. About a month and a half ago, you had a call from a young lady in, she was in the islands off of Canada, Vancouver, I think, somewhere up there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You remember her and you talked to her?
Yeah, I remember. She was calling on behalf of her mama.
That's it. That's it. You guys talked for about 20 minutes, and I want to tip my hat to you, sir. You did everything in the world to get a smile off of her.
Well, she's probably smiling now, but she just wasn't smiling. She was probably exhausted from staying up all night taking care of her mom.
It occurred to me as well. I thought, well, she had such a flat voice, but then it dawned on me it was probably like 5 or 5:30 her time.
Yeah, she's probably the most beautiful human being of all time. It was probably just, this is just my interpretation. I think that she was just a little bit emotionally exhausted and run down. And we all get that way from time to time, don't we?
Well, we do, sir. And you know, we got to remember that she's one of God's children as well. And that I just had to comment on the way you kept bouncing the humor off of her.
I probably actually went a little bit overboard. But you're so kind.
It cracked me up. I was sitting there just laughing at that. Anyway,
well,
if
it made you laugh, maybe that's all that matters.
Well, there you go. God works in those ways, I'm telling you. He really does.
You're here. So kind. Thanks.
I wanted to confirm something you've said about apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
For years, I've taken a little swig off of that straight. I'd go through spells where I wouldn't touch it for several years, and then maybe some congestion or something. I'd go through some seasons. And, I mean, the day that you were talking here, I guess a couple months back, about how you would use it for to remove the paint off the side of the building, it dawned on me more. I was getting some congestion in the lungs, so I took a swig of that. Just a little tiny swig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, man, it was like I had swallowed acid. From my gullet down, it burned so bad. I was actually coughing up a little blood for about a month. It seared me. But you know, I'm a fast healer, so it hasn't bothered me since then. But I wanted to tell you, you know, you're absolutely right about apple cider vinegar. Now when I dose up on it, I dilute it heavily with water.
Oh, the good call there.
Yeah, and I've also kind of eased up on my jalapeno diet. So having said that, let me hit you with the one question. I'll let you get on with your day. You continually praise the benefits of calf liver.
Yeah.
And when I go into my grocery store, I find calf liver that's already been prepackaged, and it looks, you know, it's dried. There's no, and then I look at regular cow liver in the little $3 pack that's filled with blood and everything, and I'm thinking maybe you'll agree with me that it's healthier. It just looks healthier when it's fresh like that.
Well,
the prepackaged stuff.
As a general rule, the more nutrient dense a tissue is, the quicker they have to wash it and freeze it. Now, are you saying you find raw calf liver that it refrigerated, that's not frozen?
Yep.
Okay.
Or it might be frozen. I'm not sure. It's just,
well, as a general rule, they have to freeze it pretty quick to preserve it. They could take a cow and they could hang that sucker up and you'd have aged beef after 3 months in a refrigerator, but you couldn't do that with liver. It'll spoil pretty quick.
I understand that. I do, but there's just no, it just looks dried out. There's no blood. It doesn't look fresh at all.
Are you talking about the ones that have been vacuum sealed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and the other thing is, I don't even know how long that, I went to Drug Emporium last night. This is not really meant to be a joke, but I came across a lady that was looking at meat that was for sale that was outdated, and I said, what do you mean this? And I was just talking to her. She's very, very sweet. Her name is Tammy. I said, Tammy, what is the date on that meat you're looking at? She says it's July. I kind of looked at it and I thought, what do you mean they have meat that's, that went out of date in July? I'm talking about July 2018.
Oh,
we're only like, what, 5 months beyond that, give or take? Anyway, we kind of looked at each other and we had like a little laugh over it. And I think her husband walks up and go, hey, you want some meat that's outdated? we decided, but usually liver. I know that almost all meat, it will keep if it stays frozen. And they freeze them pretty hard. And I'm going to have to just investigate what you're referring to, because I want to go look at that's been vacuum sealed versus that might be in a tub or container.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking of.
But to be positive, I think you and I would agree that if you included a little bit of calf liver in your diet once a week, it is very, very nutrient dense, and it has such profound healing and strengthening properties. You know, that was the old trick of the Navy SEALs, that if they were in a real bad place and they couldn't go on any longer, you know what they would do?
Calf liver. They'd eat raw liver, absolutely.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about that study that I read from the 1950s? There was a very famous researcher, and his name was either Parson or Peterson or Patterson, something like that. But they took this. I know this is the cruelest thing for me to bring up on a Saturday morning. Probably people are going to call and say, why did you bring that up, Dr. Morgan? Well, I'm just repeating it. What they did was they took a 55-gallon drum or barrel, and they filled it halfway with water, and they put rats in there to see how long they could swim before they completely, became exhausted. Have you heard the study?
That doesn't even ring a bell, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, my point is, they would give them a corn-based diet or a wheat-based diet or, you know, Purina rat chow, whatever that's made of, and they would hit the stopwatch and they would see how long they could tread water until they drowned. I know this doesn't sound great, but then they came back and they tried something a little bit different, and I may get my numbers just a little bit wrong, but the main point is they came up with a new type of rat chow, and what it was, and I want to say to the best of my ability, it was 30% calf liver. And so, you know how you could take a food dehydrator? Well, you could take a liver and put in a food dehydrator, and you could get the moisture out of it, right?
Okay, all right.
Well, a dehydrator's got a fan and low heat, so if you had it set at 90 degrees, that'll preserve all the nutrients. It won't destroy them. But it'll just dry it out, and then you could grind it up and do whatever you want. But they combined a 30% liver into their rat chow. And the rats could tread water for 120 minutes. You can't make this stuff up, buddy. They went from about 10 to 11 minutes before they died, all the way up to about 2 hours. Now, do you want to have endurance and stamina?
Well, of course. You know, it's my only issue is that I prefer the fresh liver, whether it's calf or not, over the freeze dried. The vacuum sealed stuff. It just doesn't look healthy, that's all.
Where do you go to buy your liver?
HEB.
Oh, no. You have an HEB?
The Bible. Yeah, I'm an HEB fan.
The Bible says we're not supposed to be envious or jealous of our brothers, and I'm all of a sudden jealous because do not have access to an HEB. I think you mentioned that as a point of pride, if I might say.
Well, it could be. They used to man all the registers so you could get in and out real fast.
Oh, really? that sounds kind of advantageous if you go to a grocery store.
way back when, right there. But
where's the HEB? Which town?
I live northwest of Crockett.
You mean like the Mahia area?
Not too far from there.
Well, is that where the HEB is?
Well, it's in Crockett.
Oh, you got one in Crockett? Okay.
Yeah, and I'm 40 miles west of Lufkin.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, but that's
Well, I hear there's some highly intelligent people that live in Houston County. Is that true?
As long as they're hey, don't take me down that path. That's funny stuff.
Oh no, that's how often do you actually like to eat calf liver?
Oh gosh, just the liver itself. I eat about once a month, I guess.
You know what would happen if you took a bold step or experiment and said, you know what, I'm going to try eating it a little bit once a week just to see what happens to me. You might notice an astounding change for the better.
Well, we could try that, but I'm still going to stick with the regular liver over the calves until I find out about the vacuum pack stuff. I just don't like the looks of that right there.
You know? I don't blame you. I mean, there's a reason why God gave us these visual centers of the brain, because if you look at something and go, you know what, that's green, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, there you go. That sums it up right there.
Which I probably shouldn't tell you this. I got some chicken livers one time, and they were like solid green. I said, oh, there's no way. I can't do that.
Oh, my gosh. I've seen those, yes.
I just can't go down that road.
No, I've been that route. I surely have right there.
I listened to a story last night of this family that was stuck on the ocean because killer whales attack their wooden schooner or yacht, whatever it was, and they sank it. And they were stuck on the ocean for a long time, and the only way they could survive is by, eating fish raw, and they captured sea turtles in order to drink their fluids, which was kind of, not what you want. But it just goes to show you that if a person has a will to live and to survive, they're going to do whatever it takes, but they would eat the raw liver just to survive.
Oh, absolutely.
Without even cooking it, which is horrible. But anyway.
Well, to follow that with another real quick story, you heard about that old man in Florida for 25, almost 30 years. He could be seen on the beach feeding the seagulls.
No, tell me.
Old man. And you probably know some of your history. The name Eddie Rickenbacker might ring a bell with you.
Yeah.
And when he was shot down, he was a World War I ace, but when he was shot down over the Pacific, or the plane crashed. I can't remember why the plane went down. He and the survivors, I believe a seagull landed on someone's head, and they caught that thing and ate it raw. And that's why they couldn't eat it, because, Scripture tells us to avoid that kind of a bird because of the kind of diet that they live on. And the first one almost killed him because of the filth in the bird's gullet. And the second one they found and were able to catch was clean. So that's why that old man spent the rest of his life feeding seagulls on the beach in Florida.
That's an incredible story. I mean, he had true gratitude.
Evidently. But you talk about eating raw. Raw meats, there's just some. I just won't eat raw stuff.
If you were in the situation of Samson and you came across that carcass of the dead lion that you killed with your bare hands, and there was a honeycomb in there?
Would you do that? Nope, sure wouldn't.
Well, he gave it to his parents and never told him where he got it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, there's a lot of liars in this world, and Samson sure paid a price for that. No doubt about that.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I really want to know who in the Bible hasn't told a lie.
Good point. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's true.
Well, maybe Noah didn't, and maybe others, but I mean, you go down through. I mean, didn't Abraham? I mean, he was called the friend of God.
Oh man, he lied right and left. David was a huge lie. He even caused other people to lie.
Well, the thought that I had the other day, you remember when Abraham and Lot their shepherds were kind of arguing over space, and it was fights, sir. And all of a sudden, Abraham was very gracious and said, okay, Lot, where do you want to go? And Lot chose the rich grasslands towards Sodom and Gomorrah. But I thought to myself in Bible class the other night, I wonder what happened to all of Lot's shepherds and their families once they went to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm just assuming they were all lost because of Lot's poor decision to associate with Sodom and Gomorrah.
Boy, that's a good question right there.
Well, I don't know. They would have had
to have been lost,
Well, I mean, how many people were saved when hellfire and brimstone came down on the Sodom and Gomorrah?
Was it three?
Oh, yeah. One of them turned to a pillar of salt, right?
Well, that would have been the fourth. the two daughters, my gosh, right there. Well, you're right. I never thought about the shepherd.
Well, maybe what I'm saying is I want to focus on the idea that even though we make mistakes as human beings, God is ready to forgive us.
Yes, sir, he is.
And he's full of compassion and mercy.
Always carries us when we can't walk. I can testify to that many times right there. Doctor, I'm going to let you go
Thank you for your phone call.
Hey, I wanted to thank you for your ministry, sir. You're truly blessed.
Well, you're so kind to me. Sorry about the apple cider vinegar burning you.
No, that's okay. I mean, if that's the worst of it, then I'm in great shape. Merry Christmas to you, Doctor.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
We'll talk again. Thank
All
you,
right.
sir.
Take Bye-bye. Care, buddy. Bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I'm going to tell you a story that, we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, how are you, man?
Nice to hear your voice.
Well, nice to hear your voice. How's everything going?
Hey, I've got some exciting things happening. Yesterday, I went for my first treatment of something that's way out there in terms of what you can do with your brain. It's called microcurrent neurofeedback. It lets the brain rebalance, reorganize itself. Is that something you've heard about?
How is it applied?
With the electrodes to your head, and the size of this current is just micro. I mean, it's you don't even
it's kind
you're
of a
wide awake.
You don't feel anything, do you?
No. These signals are going back and forth between your brain and this computer, and this little tiny, not at all but anything that you can feel consciously.
Now, refresh my memory. Is this a treatment that's after having a stroke?
No, sir. This is being done to me primarily to get me back to good sleep.
Oh, okay.
I have horrible sleep.
Well,
pattern.
Is this a situation, if I'm asking too personal of a question, you don't have to
answer. No, you're certainly not.
Is this more of a long-term deal where your sleep has just deteriorated over a long period of time, and this is something you're
yes.
doing? Okay, cool.
It is.
Well, how long have you been doing this microcurrent feedback?
Well, yesterday was my first treatment, and here's a list of things that they treat with it. Anxiety,
do you have any results yet?
Well, I did the first treatment yesterday, so for me to say, yeah, man, it just did everything perfectly well last night, and I slept just like a baby. No, I didn't. But as we go through these series of treatments, and they use this to treat a large list of things like anxiety, including panic attacks, generalized anxiety, PTSD. Impulse control, irritability, emotional outbursts, depression, head trauma, including mild to moderate traumatic brain injuries.
That's all football players.
Cognitive dysfunction, including ADD, ADHD, some learning disabilities, brain fog, cognitive deficits from stroke, poor memory. Well, that's me there. I mean, you give me five things to try to remember.
Well, how could you have a great memory when you don't restore your brain at night when you sleep?
Hey, there you go. That's
I
right.
Mean, it just all catches up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
Okay, and I'm really going to try to make this sound simple. Sometimes I do, and quite often I do not, but I'm going to try. Do you know what it's like to kind of be inside of your own head and just have this continual feedback loop going where you're just constantly thinking about things that have happened in the past and you're talking to yourself? But what you really want is you want it all to be quiet. You don't want to, think about a million things, right?
No. I mean,
is that one of the things that happens to you with your poor sleep is you have a very hard time turning your brain off?
Well, there are times, yes. That,
now, what do you mean there are times? You mean it's not all the time, or is it just like...
Well, just depends on how much is going on that if I get to thinking about everything that's okay, if I get to thinking about all the stuff that's got to happen today's going to be an extremely busy day.
Mm-hmm.
And I can lose sleep just laying there thinking about it.
But how often does that happen, though?
Well, not every night, no. I'll tell you what puts me to sleep for a few hours anyway, and it's called Seroquel.
Yeah,
and the fact that I have used about every sleeping pill out there.
Well, and this is what I was going to get to, and it may not make logical sense, but I'm going to try to oversimplify this. You know that in your brain, which I'd be the first to admit, the brain is one of the most complex, not completely understood organ systems within the body. If you go to a doctor and they say, I completely understand the brain and all its workings, I'm going to say, oh, really? Really? It's going to be incredible. But, you know, with your brain, you have what's called your right hemisphere of your brain and your left hemisphere of your brain. So if you tend to be right-hand dominant, which means you pick up a pencil or a pen, and that means it's really your left side of the brain that's kind of controlling the motion of your hand. But the way that your brain connects the right lobe to the left lobe is you've got all these central midline structures that go down the center of the brain. And so, for example, right there in the frontal lobe of your brain, you've got this nucleus called the nucleus accumbens. And that's kind of considered the pleasure center of the brain. And then other midline structures, you have the substantia nigra, and you have the corpus callosum and the hippocampus and the hypothalamus and the thalamus, and you've got all these midline structures. But what I was going to say is, if you've never heard of a network in the brain, it's called the default mode network. Does that ring a bell with you at all?
No, not for me. No, I don't know about that.
Well, the point that I'm getting to is, when they measure the activity of what's called your default mode network, when that's operating on too high of a level, that's where you have all the PTSD, that's where you have all the anxiety, that's where you have absolutely rotten sleep, night after night, you can't fall asleep, and that's where you have depression. And so what we want to do is we want to completely calm that down. And so I'm going to be a little bit negative just for a second. Is that okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I have a purpose in mind. And okay. So when this default mode network is extremely overactive, you can't ever relax. Your brain never shuts down. That cycle of chatter is just going right and left. You're just constantly talking to yourself, which that is not good. And what you really want is you want just tremendous peace and comfort and serenity. And you want to be able to lay your head on the pillow, but you don't want to be processing a million bits of information every second, do you? No. And so one of the most common ways that, you know, human beings that live on this planet deal with this is they drink alcohol. And if you drink enough alcohol, buddy, what will happen is you'll turn that default mode network off. It's called getting drunk. But we know that is not a good plan for improving the health of a human being, is it?
Not at all. No, and I've never.
I know you don't. I was just giving that as an example. Or
sure.
Somebody might take other drugs like, cocaine or speed or something like that, or smoke marijuana. But what they're doing is all these drugs that people take, it's really a true indication of how stressed they really are. They just may not be able to recognize it as such. And so they have all these drugs that help, like the Seroquel, for example. That's going to change the balance of, serotonin pathways within the brain. And so there are ways to go about doing this, but what you're trying to do is you're trying to turn off that default mode network. And one study that I'm thinking of off the top of my head, have you ever heard of it? It's not a very large organization. It's called the United States Department of Defense. You ever heard of them? I think they're kind of over the Army and the Marines and the Air Force and the Navy. Real big organization.
No, just a little old thing.
But they did a study, and I want to say this was 2 years ago, so you're going to have to forgive me, but I cannot tell you the exact name of it because it's escaping me. So I'll have to come up with it. But in this study, they took a... Now, I know you've heard this before, and this is just real sad. It's not fun to talk about, but what is the number of service members that commit suicide every day? I think it's like 22, 23 every single day. So this idea of post-traumatic stress disorder, that is real, baby. That's just horrible. You can't turn it off. You can't undo and unforget. It's just you keep thinking about all the horrific things. But in this study, what they did was, and again, I'm going to make this sound simple. They took some men and women that had horrible post-traumatic stress disorder, and they had them do what are called breathing exercises. And when I say that, I don't want you just to throw that away and poo-poo that and say, hey, that's too simple. I know how to breathe. Well, maybe you do, but maybe you don't. Just keep an open mind. But they had them do these breathing exercises, and I'm just going to tell you one example. This is not all of it, but have you ever heard of type of a breathing exercise called box breathing?
No, I've not.
It's not called boxcar willy breathing like some people call it. It's called box breathing. And it's just like the four sides of a box. And so what you do is you inhale nasally, slowly, for 4 seconds, and then you hold what you got for 4 seconds. And then you exhale over 4 seconds, and then you hold that for 4 seconds. And so basically what you're doing is you're slowing down your breathing where you're only getting, really just about 4 breaths a minute. That's opposed to 18 to 20 that you're normally breathing right now. But when you slow all that down, what you're doing is you're trying to turn on what's called your parasympathetic nervous system. And when you do that, and so what I'm saying is the body can be retrained, but this had literally a 100% success rate at resolving all PTSD without the use of any drugs. I had a lady that came to see me recently, and she's a yoga instructor. And I said, what's your success rate with treating PTSD? And it's through the roof. What she's doing is greater than all the drugs on earth. And so the microcurrent stimulator, for all I know, maybe what that does, it's got to work by quieting that default mode network of the brain. It has to. And it has to help calm down that sympathetic dominance, which is fight or flight or freeze. But you've got to be able to get out of your head and stop all the excessive activity and just calm it down where your brain can be very focused and purposeful, which I know what you want. You want to use your brain and your mind to accomplish great things in service to God. I know that much about you.
Yes. You're exactly right.
And so I just want to...
You were talking about that box. It came back to me that I was trying to help a person with their panic attack problems, and I was telling them about that business and that maybe they could address the problem of a panic attack with that box therapy.
Well, it works every single time. It's just a matter of how long does it take to get you to that point where you feel calm and relaxed. I mean, what did they used to do when somebody had a panic attack? They would say, does anybody have a brown paper bag around here from their lunch? Can we borrow it? And they would have them breathe. And because what happens, without even realizing what you're doing, your breathing is such that you're releasing way, way, way too much carbon dioxide. And when you do that because you're over-breathing. And that's what leads to just... Well, the point is, you can't have that rich oxygen saturation when you overbreathe. And so by breathing in a brown paper bag, you're retaining more carbon dioxide to help relax your blood vessels. But all the oxygen-rich blood vessels are found in the lower lobes of your lungs. When people breathe shallowly with their chest instead of their diaphragm, they're just reinforcing the fight or flight or panic or anxiety. And I can tell you, this can happen in 5 minutes. You could go from being panicky and anxious, that if you tried that box breathing, which I'm going to say is probably free, doesn't cost anything yet, unless we have, are we taxed for breathing yet? But I would be more than happy to look into the microcurrent stimulator for feedback where they run currents to the brain. But I'm just going to tell you from my perspective, I have got to believe there's other ways also that can get you there that are probably very, very simple to do, like the box breathing.
Yeah. Well,
I can tell you the home test to do, if you do a test called the controlled pause breathing test, you'll find out if your nervous system is relaxed or not real quick by doing that. Very easy to do. You can look it up on YouTube. After you get off the phone with me, you can look up on YouTube, control, pause, breathing test.
Okay.
And I know that's, there's a lot of fancy equipment out there that you could spend $10,000 on to determine your state, but I don't think you have to do that. I think it could be done for free.
Yeah.
I'm probably kind of hardcore that way, in that I want to solve mysteries by using simple, non-toxic, inexpensive remedies if I can. Sure. But then again, if you want to pay me $10,000 to help you, I'll be glad to. No, I'm joking about that.
Yeah.
And so I wish you the very best, but at the end of the day, if you develop the skills to help master yourself and understand yourself, I think that's going to be like a major home run for you, and you're going to have something that you can use the rest of your life.
Okay. It's a real privilege to get to talk to you, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, well, thanks for calling.
Here's one last thing. You can throw this back at me real fast. Filtered whole leaf aloe vera juice. Does that sound like a good formula? Filtered whole leaf aloe vera juice.
You know what my preference is the more I study it?
Okay.
I love the aloe vera gel over the juice.
Okay, just a sec.
Because the gel is going to be that gelatinous, gunky inner part of the leaf of the aloe vera. Just like if you took your pocket knife out and you filleted the leaf off the aloe vera. I am convinced there are tremendous healing properties to it. I think it's a superfood. I think it's very rejuvenating of the body.
Your preference is?
The gel.
Filtered gel.
No. Just say gel. There's no filtering at all to it.
Okay.
I don't even see how you get the stuff to go through a filter and clog it up.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Aloe vera gel. G-E-L.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call. I wish you the very best, and give me some feedback on how this microcurrent treatment goes on your sleep.
Hey, I sure will. It's a very interesting thing. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. There's time left in the program if you want to call and ask a question. I think it goes better when people call. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Thanks for your phone call.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
What can you tell me about RLS? And the other thing is being impacted. How do you get yourself to move the peristalsis?
Okay.
You know, castor oil and all that stuff.
Are you saying you're willing to drink a gallon of castor oil? Because I'm pretty sure if you
no.
did that, that would have... which one do you want me to tackle first?
Castor oil or impact.
Okay.
Whatever.
Let's just say that over a period of time, you've gone from having normal bowel elimination or normal bowel movements to it's become a little bit more sluggish. Is that true?
Yes, but it's been going on a long time.
Well, how long? Since your childhood?
Yeah, 3 months. I don't know. Long.
Well, do you know whether or not your mother or your father or siblings had horrible trouble with bowel movements?
No, in fact, some of the drugs, this is for a friend, some of the drugs that were given him for pain.
I promise you, you're totally right. And you're just wanting to know how to start it back up again, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I'm with you now. I tried to make it into this was your issue from your childhood.
No.
So, I don't want you telling your friends I said that you're constipated. Don't do that.
I won't, as long as you can get me unconstipated. Okay.
Okay. All right, but is this for your friend, though?
Yes.
Okay. One technique, and there's two ways to look at this. Well, let me just tell you what it is first. Coffee contains a natural acid called cholinergic acid.
Okay.
And so this is an old technique. It's not anything new, but it would be worth a serious consideration. So if a person's taking... you know, pain-relieving opioids like hydrocodone or something with opium in it, then what you have is you have the bowels become paralyzed.
Right.
And we're trying to jumpstart them to where they start moving again. And so one of the ways of doing that is maybe considering once a week taking...
coffee.
Well, yeah, I'm fixing to get to that, but what you do is you'd probably... I'm really trying to take this seriously because I'm just putting myself in your friend's shoes, and that's just got to be a whole different level of misery.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just uncomfortable. It's just always there, just right there under the surface like, man, I have a horrible joke to tell you. I'm going to get in big trouble for this, but there's three old men sitting in a doctor's office. One is 75, one is 85, and one is 95.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor is taking forever to see them. You've never heard of that, I know. And so they begin to visit as they're sitting alone in the waiting room, and the 75-year-old man says, Oh, if the doctor could only help me with my constipation, I would be eternally grateful. And the 85-year-old man said, well, that ain't my problem. He says, my problem is I have to get up about 15 times a night to pass my urine, and I can't empty it. It's my prostate. If he could help me with my prostate, I, too, would be eternally grateful. And the 95-year-old man says, boys, I don't have either one of those problems. He says, it's at 7 o'clock every morning, I have a perfect bowel movement, and I can pass all my water. And they said, well, what's your problem? He said, well, my problem is I don't wake up till at 10 o'clock. That is the worst joke I could ever tell on the radio. I can't believe you made me do that. I wasn't going to do it until you coaxed me into it.
Well, maybe if he laughs hard enough, he'll pass.
Well, here's what I want him to consider. If he took two, you want to treat Epsom salt like it's fine gold dust.
Okay.
And so if you take a tablespoon scoop that's marked a tablespoon, you try to scoop it in there, and you try to just pile that sucker up like you're holding as much Epsom salt as you can.
Okay.
And don't judge me for this. I'm just telling you what works. You either take a 7-Up or a Sprite or a ginger ale or maybe orange juice, and you just dump it in there. And
okay.
You stir it up. It's going to take a while to stir it up. But if he were to drink that...
How often?
Well, he just does it once a week.
Oh.
If he would drink that, and then following that, wait maybe an hour and a half, and then go fill up the bathtub with really warm water, and then take an enema bag, which if you were to go to the pharmacy or the store, they have these kits called feminine hygiene kits.
Yeah.
And it looks like the old rubber hot water bottle that you might lay on your head or something if you had a headache or something. But he could purchase organic coffee, and he could make 2 cups of coffee, and it does not matter to me if he dilutes that. And then if he gives himself a coffee enema, about an hour and a half after doing the Epsom salt flush, that's going to stimulate those wave-like contractions. It's going to start the process of really cleaning him out.
He's in fact in the upper colon, not the lower. They said an enema wouldn't work. He's had an MRI or whatever they do, CAT scan.
Well, if he had a true impaction that wasn't, nothing was moving through there.
They said not an obstruction.
Well, exactly. There's no obstruction there. But my point of view is they are wrong, and I am right. So
okay.
have him do these things.
Oh, believe me, he's done that Epsom salt thing, but it didn't work. So we're really kind of...
You mean he did it exactly like I said? He did the 2 heaping tablespoons and got in a tub of hot water, then he applied a coffee enema?
No.
Okay.
Did I say exactly how?
No, and I get that. But, you know, and that's very discouraging to try something and not have it work. But the other thing that we have to do is he's got to strengthen his abdominal muscles. And he's got to do what's called, if he does, the job of the diaphragm is to massage the upper part of the colon. Every time the diaphragm moves perfectly, and see, don't take what I'm saying the wrong way, none of his stuff is working right. It ain't working. And if we can get the diaphragm fully contracting and pushing and massaging on the liver and the gallbladder and the bile ducts and the pancreas and the upper small intestine, then we can start pushing the stuff through. And then on top of that, if we could actually give some strength and some tone to his abdominal muscles and his hip flexors, then all this will be reversed. All of this will be turned around. He'll call me a month from now and saying, Dr. Morgan, you're a genius. Which nobody has called me in 30 years and told me that. This will be the first time.
So. Come and clean your office, too.
And so, but if he would consider this, the other thing is he's got to get up and he's got to start moving whether he feels like it or not. And right. I can just about guarantee he has lost so much of his muscle tone. And those drugs, they make it worse, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But what are the chances of us enrolling him in ballroom dancing classes?
What about just walking down the street?
Okay, then that's our plan B. We're going to go with that.
Okay.
Does he have a computer at all?
Yes.
He could get on YouTube right now, and he could type in, what abdominal exercises do I do to improve my digestive tract? And then he can try them. And here's what's going to happen. He's going to fail miserably. He's going to say, this is too hard. I can't do it. But, you know, there's going to be a rare person that's listening, and they're going to say this right now as we speak. Well, if they're not, if he can't do them easily, that means they're not working. He should try harder. Well, that's right. That's the only way that you're going to regain the tone of your digestive tract is by trying to improve yourself. And so it's just really a question of how hungry is he to feel good again and to be alive?
Well, is it 2 tablespoons of the Epsom salt?
Two heaping tablespoons. And you need to put it, because the stuff is super bitter. If you don't put it in a 7-Up or a Sprite or a ginger ale, you're asking for it to come back up again, which you don't want that.
Okay.
And then an hour and a half later, you go get in a really warm bathtub of water and give yourself a coffee retention enema and hold it as long as you can.
Okay.
20, 30 minutes wouldn't be too long.
Oh, okay.
And then you give it a chance, and he can start massaging. I mean, he can get on YouTube right now and say, how do I properly do a coffee enema? Or how do I do a retention enema? Or how do I retrain my bowels to move? But if we do not get him firing up the neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, if that does not fire up, then we're just going to have paralyzed bowels the rest of his life. And that's one of the reasons why I don't want him eating, you know, lots of wheat and grains and stuff like that. You know what the cure for severe diarrhea was back in the 1850s?
What?
You give a person a loaf of bread. That'll clog you up.
Yeah.
Or a brick of cheese, maybe.
So give me a good diet for this.
Well, I want to give you a good lifestyle.
Right.
If I could convince him, the moment he wakes up, make yourself get out of bed and go for a walk. Start stimulating those muscles to move, and then get on YouTube and type in breathing exercises to improve bowel function. Because the problem is, his parasympathetic nervous system is what completely controls and regulates the conveyor belts, or that peristaltic movement that you referred to at the start of the call.
Right.
We've got to get those wave-like contractions moving again. And so he doesn't realize what he's doing, but he's in the sympathetic dominance mode. If we don't break that cycle, then we're not going to get to what he really wants. And so if he could start walking, but I would only have him eat 2 meals a day. We've got to give his gut a rest.
Right.
But the way to do this is to focus mainly on, it's going to be hard to beat eating vegetables and a little bit of fruit with some meat. I would probably have him avoid grains and sugar that generate inflammation.
Yeah,
and
he doesn't eat sugar.
He doesn't eat sugar?
Nope.
Awesome. Is he taking any drugs of any kind, or just pain meds? What is he taking the pain meds for?
Well, he quit his back. He has a bulging disc. I don't know, or it's just misaligned or what, but they won't touch him. He's with the VA thing, you know, because he had prostate cancer.
Well, the VA is not the most empowering medical facility on earth to encourage you to take care of yourself.
I know.
It's almost like they encourage you to be an invalid over time. But what I told that lady earlier, that book called Core Performance.
Yeah, I heard that.
I mean, you could probably buy that for like, what, $5?
I think I had it. Does it have a picture of a woman laying over a ball on the front?
Yeah, it sure does.
I got it.
And the thing of it is, I never even did those ones where you got on the ball. I did the one called
Prehab
and whatever the initial one was. I never even progressed to the really sophisticated ones like most highly intelligent people. But you know what? I got great results, so that was good.
We're going to do. I'm sure this is listening.
The solution is not shoving more fiber into his body like Metamucil. That ain't going to work.
Thank you so much.
We are going to lube him up. We're going to lube him up with all kinds of oil. Give him a couple tablespoons of olive oil every morning when he wakes up.
Coconut oil, too?
Sure. Lube him up. We're going to make everything slide out of him. But thank you very much for your phone call. We're officially out of time.
Thank you.
I appreciate you so much. You have a great weekend, ma'am.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, and God bless you and your family and this gentleman.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye.